Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. This is the place He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. As those of you who attend regularly here at God's house, you know that each Sunday an invitation is extended to anyone who wishes to make a public profession of his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always extend that invitation by saying that it's simple, that all you need to do is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and to confess your sins to Him and receive the gift of salvation. And that text this morning is going to talk about what needs to occur after you confess your sins and after you repent your sins to the Lord. And our text this morning is found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His holy word. You know, verse 8 of our text commands us to produce fruits in keeping with repentance. And the question that comes to mind is, what are the fruits in keeping with repentance? And fortunately for us, our text this morning teaches us four fruits of repentance. Repentance, of course, is a turning away from. And in the context with which we're speaking, it is a turning away from sin in our lives. And repentance is essential to start the Christian journey. We begin our walk with God by admitting to Him that we need Jesus' sacrifice of His life for the forgiveness of our sins, and we express sorrow for the sins in our lives. And if we have truly repented, we should necessarily see the fruits of repentance in our lives. And as we study these four fruits, I want you to keep in mind the words of John, whom was speaking to the Pharisees, when he said, "You brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come." John is speaking to the Pharisees. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. He's speaking to the Sadducees. These were two sects of the Jewish people who were very religious, but they were also very distant from God. And many of us here this morning could claim validly to be very religious. However, if we are not bearing the fruits of repentance, then we are not living close to God. So let's look at these four fruits of repentance that are mentioned in our text. The first fruit is mentioned in verse 9. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise children for Abraham. John is telling us via this verse that we cannot rely on family history to have a personal and close relationship with God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were quick to point out their Jewish family history as proof of their closeness to God. We are children of Abraham. But Matthew states in our text, so what? What difference does it make? If God wishes, he can raise children for Abraham out of these stones. Just because you are a descendant of Abraham does not have any influence with God, does not mean you are any closer to God than a non-believer. God can make children out of stone. We need to have a personal and close relationship with him ourselves and not rely on our family history. Today we see sometimes similar behavior involving bragging. Sometimes we ask a person, are you a Christian? And they respond, oh yes, my entire family is Methodist. Or sure, my parents are Baptists. But neither our parents nor our family can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on our behalf. We each have to believe for ourselves. So the point of this first fruit, this first characteristic, if you will, of repentance is humility. When we rely on our family history like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we are able to claim a relationship to God just through association with our family. But there is no personal contact with him. We make statements such as, well, my family has been attending this church since 1934. My dad helped build the fellowship hall. My mother was a Sunday school teacher for 30 years. And often these connections that we bring up, that we have with a church, create more a feeling of pride than a feeling of humility. Humility which should characterize our relationship with God. You know, a similar phenomenon occurs when we attempt to claim a close relationship to God which is not based on grace. When we believe our work in the church, or our attendance on Sunday morning, or our large financial contribution is the fact linking us to God, then we shall develop pride in our works and not humility because of God's grace. Upon repenting, we bow and acknowledge that earning our way into heaven is impossible. We acknowledge our sin and the questionable motives for many of our actions. And we admit our need for Jesus' cleansing blood in order for God to forgive us. In other words, there is a humility which comes into our heart. It is a fruit of the being repentant, yet we are sinners. And God forgives us anyway. And what a humbling circumstance when we receive something that we did not deserve. And that is God's grace. In your relationship with God, is it characterized by humility, or are you lacking this fruit of repentance in your life? Verse 10a leads us to a second fruit of repentance. This verse states, the axe is already at the root of the trees. Often in our lives, we believe that our sins are so small, so minor, that God will just wink and excuse us or forgive us, that we don't have to repent of those little sins. We haven't committed an axe murder. We haven't gone on a shooting spree. We haven't robbed a bank. In our minds, the sins we commit are not major. It's like the little white lies. They're still lies. Well, the little small sins that we think are small are still sins. And we think, well, God will kind of turn his back on those and we'll get around to confessing those one day. Well, as we've talked about so often from this pulpit, this verse points out that one of the fruits of repentance is urgency. When we come to the point of repentance, we realize that our sins are not excusable. And although we argue that these individual sins are minor, it's like adding a pebble after pebble after pebble on a shelf or on a table. Eventually, these little sins add up to such an enormous weight that they break down ourselves. We assess the truth of the situation, and if we are truthful, we must admit that we are in much worse condition than we thought. With repentance comes the awareness of the seriousness of our sins and the desire which flows from repentance to rid ourselves of sin. Let's look at this process by which the fruit of urgency should continue to always be a part of life as we are here on this earth. First of all, we repent and realize the seriousness of our sin. Second, we experience the joy and relief of God's forgiveness. Third, we recognize the cost of our forgiveness has been Jesus' life, his death on the cross. It's because of us that he lost his life. We walk the journey of faith with constant desire to come more like Jesus and to rid ourselves of any remaining sin that we may have in our lives. And we desire to remove that sin now, as soon as possible, because we know the urgency of the situation. We know not when Jesus shall return, so we must be ready when that day comes. And we must confess our sins and repent of them and not wait until it's too late. Verse 10b instructs us that every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. We as Christians claim that finding God is not about religion, it's about a personal relationship. And we claim to have this personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what his word teaches us. In other words, we as Christians claim to have a personal encounter with the most powerful being in the universe. But let me ask you this. If we have had an encounter with the most powerful being in the universe, then wouldn't it stand to reason that we would walk away from such encounter as different people? But so many people who claim to be believers, who claim to have repented, continue to live lives that are unaltered by that experience. And I have to wonder if they've had a true encounter, personal encounter with Jesus. Because if they had, his word teaches us that they cannot continue to be the persons they were before. And the last portion of verse 10 then teaches us regarding a third fruit of repentance, and that is change. The church in America has too long presumed that we can be a Christian even if there's no evidence of such fact in our lives. You know, Henry Blackaby, who is going to be in Richmond in September for a men's conference, who wrote the book, book, Experiencing God, recently noted that there are just as many abortions occur with persons in the church as with outside of the church. And there's only 1% difference in the gambling by people outside the church and people inside the church. And he concluded that there's not that much difference between the two. George Barna, who does the Christian surveys throughout the United States, did a survey of 152 different items comparing the lost world against the church people. And he concluded, sadly, that there's virtually no difference between the two groups. The Bible makes no reference to faith which does not lead to a changed life. The Bible makes no reference to faith which does not lead to a changed life. So if we have had a true experience of repentance, if we rely on our faith in God and accept His gift of salvation through grace, then we should be changed. And Jesus was very straightforward about this matter. He stated in John 14, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." It doesn't say he may obey my teaching or she may wish to obey my teaching. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So if we claim to have repentance, if we claim to have had a moment of repentance and accepted the gift of salvation, then we should be changed. We should live in accordance with God's teaching in His Word, and we should try to mimic and follow God's example through Jesus as He walked here on this earth. James famously wrote, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." We're not saying you need to have deeds to earn your way into heaven. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Paul taught us that so well in his letters. But Paul also said that if you truly are a convert, that if you truly are a believer, then you will act differently. You will show act of kindness. You will do good deeds to others. It's just a natural consequence. It's one of the fruits of repentance. So an essential part of repentance is we lead a changed life. Let's look one more time at verse 11, please. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John puts a lot into that verse. Many points are there. But I wish to focus our attention on John's assertion that one is coming after him more powerful than I. And we know who that is. We know that is Jesus Christ. And the act of repentance includes admitting that we messed up and that we tried hard to handle our life on our own and failed. So this final fruit of repentance in my message today is dependence. Recognizing upon repentance that we have fallen short, we admit our sin and pursue a changed life. And obviously, if we failed in the past, then we need more strength than we possess to finish the journey that we've just begun at repentance. The good news for those of us in that position is that God is a mighty God. We serve a mighty God who is able to provide all the resources, everything we need for victory in this journey with Him. The key is we must recognize our need to depend on God and trust in His strength. Too many of us are trying to experience victory in Jesus through our own power, our own intelligence, our own insight, and we shall inevitably fail. There's no getting around it. There's no instance in history of mankind where a man or woman was able to have eternal life through his or her own efforts. Those who have started at the point of repentance will remember their failure and turn to the one who is able to bring them through. So I want you to ask yourself a simple question this morning. Can you see the fruits of repentance in your life? Or are you standing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? If you have not discerned any of these fruits in your life, you may want to go home and get on your knees and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, somehow I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. And I need you. I need a true experience of repentance. I know it's urgent. I know I have to have a changed life. I know I have to depend on you. And I know that I can't rely on my family or my friends to accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted Him, if you've never had an experience of confession of faith and repentance, we invite you today, if you feel the Holy Spirit working in you, to come forward and share that experience with us. And we will pray with you and rejoice with you in your newfound life and help you in any way we can to nurture those fruits of repentance and let them blossom in your life. If you would like to become a part of this body of believers and want to make application for membership, we invite you to do that also.